Lori did the introduction. I'll just go straight to the outline to save some time. This presentation will discuss various assessment methods that CDC is using to measure HPV vaccine coverage levels, which includes immunization information systems, more commonly known as immunization registries, and surveys such as the teen and adult modules of the National Immunization Survey. Safety monitoring is also a top activity, and you just heard a presentation on the Vaccine Safety Data Link project, but time permitting, we'll also briefly talk about the Vaccine Adverse Event System that CDC works with. For those of you who don't know, an IIS is a confidential population-based computerized data system based usually in a state public health department. These systems were designed primarily to consolidate the vaccination data of all children within a geographic area from multiple vaccine providers and provide coverage assessments, and many now have the ability to exchange data with electronic medical records. Although the focus has been on children less than 6 years of age, we can see on this slide, let's see, my pointer works. We can see here on the slide that about 66% of the 11 to 18-year-olds in the U.S. have two or more records in an IIS, and even 18% of adults 19 years of age or older have at least one vaccination recorded in an IIS as well. So where do the data come from? The primary means are through vaccine providers and hospitals who submit data on doses that they administer, billing data, and from downloads of birth certificate data. School nurses also submit vaccination data, and IISs are recruiting STD clinics, juvenile detention centers, and OBGYN practices to better capture HPV vaccine doses. Since the mid-1990s, CDC has provided immunization grants to the 50 states, D.C., and five large cities to develop and implement immunization information systems. These IIS should collect some core data elements, which include a patient's full name, date of birth, race, ethnicity information, gender, vaccine information such as date, vaccine date and antigen, the provider administering the dose, and a patient's eligibility for vaccine at no cost through the Federal Vaccines for Children program. And currently, seven states and one city receive additional grant funds to participate in our IIS Sentinel Site project. This project runs from 2008 through 2012. And it uses IIS data for coverage assessments and immunization program evaluation. Unlike other assessment methods, which I'll discuss later, IIS have the benefit of providing timely coverage numbers at the local level. We're talking census tract level, zip code level, county level information. However, these systems vary in their data quality and record completeness. Although some states mandate provider participation may not be high enough in all areas of interest. Areas with a highly mobile population have difficulties calculating coverage, and systems that have focused for years in childhood vaccination data may not yet have enough adults in the systems to produce accurate adult assessments, which is sort of the issue that Susan Hariri brought up in her presentation with the EIP project. So from 2004 through 2007, the Sentinel Site project had six grantees who assessed vaccination coverage for persons less than 19 years of age, and they were Arizona, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Oregon, and D.C. And all grantees had data quality improvement plans that they implemented. And although the IIS collected data from the entire state, the Sentinel Site area of study evaluation consisted of a geographic area of contiguous counties that had high levels of provider participation, both public and private, and most of the children enrolled in the IIS. So this gives us a little profile of what these sites look like, and the HPV vaccine data that I'll be presenting will be based off of these six sites. These sites are very diverse, as you can see. For example, Michigan here has almost all the state all the state included, 80 out of 83 counties, everything's included except the Detroit area. And it has almost a million adolescents, 11 to 18-year-olds, represented in the area. This is in comparison to the rural areas of southwest Minnesota, which only includes about 16,000 adolescents 11 to 18 years of age. So there's a big difference between the sites. Let's see here. Arizona, for example, also has seven counties in the northern part of the state, and they have a larger representation of Native Americans. So for certain, depending on the vaccine of interest, Native Americans can be assessed fairly well within Arizona especially. So now let's have some vaccine update data. The Sentinel sites have been collecting data on HPV vaccines since August 2006. Although most of the early data indicated vaccination levels for at least one dose of HPV vaccine to be less than 1% of females in this age group, you can see the numbers are just, you know, very low here at the bottom from the early quarters before the vaccine really started to be distributed across the country. Some states like Oregon have as much as 21% of its adolescent females getting at least one dose of vaccine as of the most recent quarter. And this graph illustrates the mean percentage of females less than 19 years of age in the registry with at least one dose of HPV by age and quarter. Essentially, it takes the mean of the percentages you saw in the previous slide and breaks it down or stratifies it by age group. And the uptake of the HPV vaccine has increased slowly over 2007, as you can see here, with the largest gains in the last two quarters. This graph illustrates the age distribution of adolescent females who are vaccinated with at least one dose of HPV as of our most recent quarter of available data. And although the vaccine is recommended for 11 to 12-year-olds, some states like Arizona right here have it seems like more of their 13 to 15-year-olds are getting the vaccine, while states like Michigan here and Minnesota, a larger proportion are getting are in the 16 to 18-year-old age group getting the vaccine. This slide describes the mean dose distribution among the six sites. And among the HPV vaccine recipients by age group, it looks like over half of the recipients have received one dose between the different age groups. And it appears that the 16 to 18-year-olds have a slightly higher percentage of receiving three doses of vaccine in comparison to the 11 to 12-year-olds. Other assessment methods that look at HPV vaccine uptake include two modules of the National Immunization Survey. And although typically focused on childhood vaccinations, the National Immunization Survey did focus on teens and adults in the fourth quarters of 2006 and 2007. So the NIST was administered in the fourth quarter of 2006 and 2007 among persons aged 13 to 17 years to provide national uptake estimates. The NIS adult was administered from May through August to persons greater than 18 years of age or older, and they're in 2007, and no current plans are in the works for 2008. So this was sort of a limited survey just in 2007. And national data were collected, and estimates were based only on household reports. Typically, the National Immunization Survey for Children bases its vaccination coverage levels on provider-validated records. But this adult module was done just on household reports. And data on the adult module will be published in a peer-reviewed journal this summer. And here are some next steps to HPV vaccine uptake assessment. The II Sentinel Site Project will continue to monitor HPV vaccine uptake at least through the project period of 2012. And CDC has added vaccine receipt questions to the National Health Interview Survey and the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey in 2008. There are six states that are currently using the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey Child HPV module. There are Delaware, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Texas, and West Virginia. And there's also a Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey Adult HPV module, and that includes Delaware, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Texas, and West Virginia. And I'd also like to briefly mention one of the tools that we have to passively monitor vaccine safety with a vaccine adverse event reporting system. It's a system jointly operated by the CDC and the FDA. And adverse events to vaccines are reported by healthcare providers, vaccine manufacturers, patients, and others. And here's just an excerpt of the VAERS data collection report, which illustrates some of the data fields that are collected, such as vaccine information, a description of the adverse event, which is listed right up here, and patient outcomes, which is listed here. This system, as well as the Vaccine Safety Data Link Project, will monitor HPV vaccine safety. And so I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues at the 2004-2007 Sentinel Site areas of Arizona, DC, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, and Oregon, and my colleagues at the CDC. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Right over here first. The question was, how does HPV uptake within, I guess, the last year or its first year of implementation compare to other vaccines such as hepatitis B? I don't recall off the top of my head.
But the comparison can be from the niche, from more recent ones like Tdap and Menactra.
I think Menactra has had a higher, has had a faster uptake in its first year of implementation. Most meningococcal is mostly summer. The summer has the peaks for school entry, and we haven't seen that here. Yes.
But I think that in general this is actually pretty good uptake for the first year. Yeah. And certainly compared to Tdap, I think it's very good uptake.
Yeah. In the back of the room? There was a question regarding plans for measuring the time lag between uptake of the second and third dose, and we do. When we get the data from the Sentinel sites, we get it quarterly, but it's strictly aggregate data that we get. For something like that, we would probably have to ask them to do an ad hoc report, which they could do, where we would have to ask them to do the calculations in-house and then submit the data to us. That's certainly something that we can do. The follow-up question was also regarding time lag between the second and third dose.